Good morning, everybody. All right. One of the things that you mentioned about Paul, the apostle, and then turning around and how that road could be hard and, you know, these types of things. But one thing that happened with Paul, when the Lord got Paul's attention or Saul's attention, and Saul recognized that he was actually persecuting the God that he wanted to serve, and that he was on the wrong side and Jesus was the Christ and all these things, when he came to realize that, see, the, you know, there's a big, can be a big stark difference between what Paul did and what we do. When Paul came to that knowledge, he turned around. He turned around. Okay. Us turning around sometimes is like trying to turn around an A-10 bomber in the air. It's like, I got to go 50 miles. I don't know how long it takes. You know, I mean, this is some exaggeration. 50 miles of a turn to get this boat and ship to turn around. All right. And then get going in the right direction. Okay. Paul was like an F-22. Flip other direction. Okay. And then you could see where the Lord revealed himself unto Paul. And then he, you know, Paul immediately started preaching. And then, and Galatians talks about his, you know, his somewhat of his training and, you know, going to certain, I forget what place it was. But I wanted to highlight that point because that is very, very, very critical. Look, man, I mean, you can have a knowledge of this thing and you can sit there and agree and say, hey, man, look, yeah, I know that's right, but, and here comes the justification. I know that's right, but, and here comes the justification. I know this is the case for me to go do, but, right? You sound like a bunch of goats. But. All right? See, unless you actually turn around, because you can acknowledge that that's the truth. People acknowledge that Jesus was the Christ. Does that mean he's going to go, but they're going to go be with him? No, even the devils, they believe and fear and tremble. But it's that actual place when you get, when that light shines on those things in your heart, and you come to realize those things, and rather of justifying yourself and all these things and not doing what the Lord is asking you to do and all these things, unless you just actually turn around, it's not going to do you any good. You can recognize that, hey man, that is the truth, and keep going down your own way. All right? But I wanted to bring that out because that's a very, very important point. The other thing is what I noticed and what kind of came to me when you were reading here in 2 Corinthians, it says, and he said unto me, in Corinthians 12:9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sakes. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, what clicked to me on this front was one thing, and this in particular, and I don't know if this relates to this scripture. Look, Steve, correct my behind, and I'll let you know that Steve corrected my behind on this, but one of the things that struck me on this front was going from your faith, okay, from your strength, unto whose strength? Christ's faith, Christ's strength, Christ's love. For when I am weak, he is strong. It was just like that example that I gave, I testified of a couple weeks ago, where I was in a weak place going, Lord, drive it on the way home. Lord, I see the task before me. I don't know what to do about this. I don't see any way that I'm going to be able to perform this thing that you've called me to do. I don't see it. Lord, I mean, I'm battling here, man. I'm struggling and I'm just pouring my heart out unto the Lord. Lord, help me. I don't know. And I get a phone call. And I didn't get just one phone call. I got two phone calls. Now, the phone calls actually happened before I came home. And the phone calls, I got messages, so-and-so called you and so-and-so called you. And I'm going, oh, okay. Well, I really hope they're not having an issue because I don't have a clue right now. I feel very, very lost myself. So if they have any kind of issue, I mean, well, I hope not. You know, I call them. Guess what? Issue happens, all right? Oh, boy. Thinking you probably ought to call somebody else. I didn't say that. I sure did think it, though. You ought to probably call somebody else. But I started listening. And I started opening my mouth. And the Lord started ministering. And it was a praise the Lord. Oh, man, a great thank you, Lord. And as I was going home, I'm kind of laughing at myself. Lord, I don't see how I'm going to be able to do that which you've called me to do. Whoa, whoa, whoa. And here he goes. He shows up. That's how. Let me do it through you. Oh, praise God. It versus my faith and his faith. What got strengthened there, what was operating there, was his faith. Second phone call, same thing. Now, I do have to say I had quite some time off and all those things, but the joyous time that I had off in about a, I don't know when it was, how long it was those moments. I got off the phone praising the Lord, praising God that he still loved me and was able to minister through me unto others. And I was praising God for those that he spoke to as well, and they got what they needed. I praise God for it. But see, my strength is made perfect in weakness. So, but that's not where I was going this morning. But there was a couple of side notes that I, you know, when you're up here that I really wanted to expound on or whatever. Guess that's the word. I don't know. But look, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I don't know if I'm going to start at verse 1. Let's start at verse 1. That's really not the point I want to highlight on. It's really going to be at down there at 10. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye are called unto the fellowship of his Son Jesus Christ our Lord. And this is the point that I want to get to. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. and there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the household of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. And I'm going to stop right there. Look, coming now, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. What mind is that? That is the mind of Christ. Folks, I have been excited, okay, of what the Lord has done just in this past week, I would say. Really have been. I mean, we went to Velocity together. We came together yesterday. We built the bell tower. We had a cookout, these kinds of things. I am really excited to see those things. And I can just see a small inkling of a fruit of a fraction of where we're supposed to be going. Just a small. But it gives me a lot of hope because I know what the Lord is able of doing with us if we would just yet submit ourselves unto Him and unto that line of authority that He has established right here. Because we're all called to be of the same mind and of the same judgment. We are not there yet. We're supposed to be like in the days of Joshua. And if you guys have not listened to the Wednesday night service, I really suggest every single one of you do just that. We're not in that same mind and in that same judgment. But we can be. And I look forward to coming to that place where we be of that same mind and of that same judgment. It is like a vision for me above all. Yeah, I wrote down projects for us to do and to get some things together. And the Lord's are going to use that project. But the vision that I see is for us coming together as a body. And going out as a body of the same mind, of the same judgment, going out and preaching the true gospel of Jesus Christ to those that are without, because that's what we're called to do. We are His body. We are to do as Jesus did. We are to walk as Jesus did. Preach the gospel. We'll do the same thing. But in that process of doing that, it comes to submission under that line of authority. And it's a blessing. It can be hard sometimes. That process can be so very hard. But it comes to that place where you become, when you lay down your life unto Him, you lay down your life, man, you put yourself, you lay it all down. You bear up your cross and come and follow me, as Jesus says. And what you'll find is in that process, what does the scripture say in John 15? John 15 says that without me you can do nothing. Look, you're not going to go unless you come to that humble place where you recognize that you are nothing and that you need Him. And you actually elect Him to be Lord over your life. It's like it's not your life anymore. It is bought with a price, as Romans says. And you come to that place, man, and that process can be hard, can it? At the same time, the fruit of submitting unto them has also been a huge blessing. I know for me, submitting unto Steve and my discipler and the things at work and the things here in this ministry and the things that are come, man, have I been blessed mightily. It's like more responsibility, which is against my nature. I want his least responsibility in my nature self, in my natural self. I want the least responsibility ever. Okay, but one of the things is when I actually accept that responsibility which the Lord has given me to do, I have been immensely blessed. And not just me only, others have as well. And it's been awesome. And I want all of us to come to that unity. I want all of us to come, like when the time of Joshua told the captains to go out and to tell the people what they do. They came all under that same mind. They came all under that same judgment. They were obedient and those walls came tumbling down and the Lord gave them that land. And they were victorious. And they were not victorious in their own strength, not one bit. They were victorious in His strength and in His might. See, the word that I want preached out is not, I don't want your word being preached out. I don't want my word being preached out. I want Jesus' word being preached out there. Because it's Jesus' word that saves, not ours. It is He that saves, not us. And if we be of that same mind and of that same judgment, that's exactly what we are going to minister and to share. But first within us, we need to come together. Now, we talked about going and doing an outreach, right? And all these things. Look, how will they know? But what does Jesus say? How will they know that you're my disciples? By your love one for another. And I'm telling you, man, if we can't love one another right here, right in this fellowship and those divisions and contentions and all those things that we've kind of been separated in our own mind, our own agendas and all these things, if we don't yet come underneath and submit unto His will and we can't love one another here, what makes us think that the Lord's even going to send anybody our way? He's not. What makes us think we're going to go out and minister His word? That ain't going to happen. But praise God. Look, man, I have a hope. A big hope. Because I just seen, just in this past week, of a few adjustments, of a few changes, of what the Lord's already done. And how the Lord has already started bringing people to that same mind and to that same judgment. And I praise God for it. But it's just a taste. It's just an inkling of what the Lord can do. Just an inkling. Now, one of the things that you're going to run into, going through a lot of subjects here, one of the things that you're going to run into is some chastisement. Some of the things that we're going to run into is some exhortation. Some of the things we're going to run into is provoking one another to love and good works. Now that word provoke, I don't sound very good. But you're going to run into these things. We're in a rock tumbler. What's going to happen when we come together and all these things? We're going to rub. But what you got to understand is with the Lord, all it is the rock tumbler, and those rough edges that you have are getting smoothed off by your brothers and sisters in the Lord. It's actually good for you. Now, it does not feel like it's good for you when you're going through all of these things. I can amen to that. Brad, that is true. I'd rather you amen on something later, but praise God. It's not going to feel so good, but on the other side of that, it's going to be awesome. You were reading this morning, scripture, with my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It is. And when we come to that place, when we get all that garbage that is actually weighing us down, that we're like holding on to, man, this is awesome stuff. Why are you trying to take this away from me? No, it's not. And then you release it and you let go of it and His burden is light. And you're going, oh man, what a relief. That was a burden, Lord. You know, it's easy when it's something you recognize as bad and you want to get rid of, like a cold or something, right? But when you actually think it's dear and it's awesome and all these things and it gets taken away from you, you're like, what? You know? I mean, that light shines on you. It's like, what? What are you doing? Wait, whoa, whoa, Lord. Hey, whoa. Man, that was awesome. He's like, no, it's not. It's killing you. Huh? It's killing you. What? Hey, it's keeping you from going my way. Now, you have free will. You can still yet hang on to it. But the Lord is faithful and just. And he's going to show you these things. Why? Because he's a loving Father. We're going to read a little bit about it. Let's go down to, let's start 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Man, look at one. You make that choice to go serve the Lord, and you come to that place or that rock where he says, Lord, not my will be done, but yours. And you come to that place of humility and submission unto him. That can be very, very difficult. But Jesus did it for our sakes, striving against sin to the sweating of blood. Oh, Father, I would that this cup pass from me, but not my wills, but yours be done. And I have to say, ain't none of one of us have gotten to that point. Ain't none of us, none one of us strive to that resistance and of those things. Not a one of us. But Jesus did that for us. He laid down his life for us that we may have it. We ought to lay down ours for his. To attain. And the old life that we're hanging on to, man, is not worth anything anyway. I guarantee it. I've experienced and I know it. I know it. Yet you have not resisted unto blood, resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If, because the Lord is faithful, and I remember coming up here and testifying about how I would run. All right, Lord, not my will be, yes, but my will be done. And I'd go and run my direction, do my own thing, get beat up, caught. Oh, it was terrible. But the Lord had grace on me because I could have almost died out there a few times. Kissed death, actually was, had to be brought back from CPR. I mean, it was terrible stuff. Terrible stuff that happened. But anyways, the Lord in his grace came back. And when I came back, it wasn't like the process had changed. It isn't like he changed the rules. Yeah, Phil, you know, I really know that, you know, you had a hard time with doing your own will. Now, you know, I'm going to change my will to suit yours so that, you know, it makes it a little easier for you. No, the process was still right there for me to do. You know, I had free will, went my own direction, turned out very bad. Mind you, I do want to highlight that if anybody else think about it. Turned out very bad, but when I went to go back, that process is right there. That chastening is right there. And the chastening would come. The gospel would come. Phil, the Lord paid the price for all that, Phil. Come follow me. Come follow me. And there'd be times where chastening would happen. But I want to look at on verse 7. If you endure chastening, God deal with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Look, folks, there's free will in that. There is free will right there. Where, look, man, the Lord's faithful. He's given you everything you need. He's given you the perfect job, the perfect husband, the perfect wife, the perfect everything you need to learn to follow Him in His ways. And He is faithful and He is just. And look, man, He'll chastise you. Why? Because He loves you. Because He loves you. But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. If you run away from that, you're making yourself a bastard in that. You're not His son. Daughter. Look, He's given you this for your own good. But I'm going to read on because it hits that. Furthermore, we have fathers of our flesh who corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more be in subjection unto the Father of lights, of the Father of spirits, and live? For they verily for a few days chasteneth us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now, I don't know about you, but do you guys want to be partakers of His holiness? Amen. Is that what you want? Yeah, I'm looking for amen from you now, Brad. Okay, there it is. All right. Praise God. I do too. This is why He does it. So when I need to get corrected, praise God. I need to be something shown in my heart that's not of Him, that's hindering me from going forward in Him, then praise God. Now, don't ask me that right after it happens. You might not be saying that so much, but in the end all, praise God. Read on. Now, no chastening for this present seemeth to be joyous. I think I got a little ahead of myself there. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Look, it's now no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. I mean, I don't know. I know what it's like. I know we got 2 minutes left. Getting chastened, Phil. You need to start doing. But when? How? Y'all, I can come up with all the excuses. Phil, that wasn't, but I thought I would. Yeah. Phil, that was not, you know, wasn't the case. I know it can be grievous, but afterward it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness. And that peaceable fruit of righteousness, that came, tying this all back to the beginning, was when I turned around as Paul did. When he came to the knowledge of the truth, that's when it happened for me. When I agreed with the Lord and I submitted unto the Lord, that's what happened. And I see the fruit of that, not just amongst with myself so much, but amongst others. And you know what it all comes down to is that I know that the Lord Jesus Christ is doing a mighty work. That's why I cannot just have a little hope here, but I can have a lot. It might have been a different place where I was yesterday, but I don't care, or the day before. But I don't care what it was yesterday or the day before. I don't care what it was for you guys yesterday or the day before. I am concerned with how it is for you now. Right now. And so does the Lord. And this is, man, where we can get this fresh start right here, right now. Get in your closets, repent, lay your life down unto Him. Rededicate it to Him if you got to. All things are past or in the past. Repent of those things. And those things submit unto Him. And He is faithful and just to forgive you of those things. And He's faithful and just to go give you that process so that you be refined and become part of that same mind and that same judgment, being a part of His body and a partaker of His will, which we don't so deserve, but we get the opportunity to do and to be such. In that time of Joshua, where we can lay our hands a hold upon the promises of God that was given to Joshua in that congregation. That's what we have. That's the opportunity we have right now, folks, to see people get out, or in bonds, get straight, be out of bonds, get set free, to see people that are deaf to hear, to see those that were blind to see those that are sick be healed, to see the dead be resurrected. But man, for that first to happen, folks, we need to come to that place where we lay off our mind, our own mind, our own judgments, our own carnal thinking, and take upon His mind and come to submission of Him under that line of authority that He has set. That's the only way that this is going to happen for you. Now, I'm going to tell you, I am going to go forward in this, and I hope that every single one of you come with me. I hope every single one of you come with me and follow right behind me through this. I hope. And I have a great hope for that. And because I know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I know how big and awesome He is. But I still don't have a clue how big and awesome He is. Does that make any sense? I'm excited to see how awesome and great and big He is. How more so much more than my own understanding of it is right now. But it does come to choice, folks, and whether you're going to submit unto that or not. But if you want to come and be a part of that, Joshua, and lay a hold of those promises and see the Lord move mightily, come, follow me. And don't look at me. Look at Him. Amen. I'm done.